You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on a Monday morning, September 8th, 2025. Another beautiful morning to have you here live up north from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're spending your mornings. Listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or catching us on the app through social media, podcast, however you got here. Thanks for starting your work week right here. Hope you had a great weekend. I got a question for you. If you enjoyed the Packer game so much, you want to do it again in a couple of days? Because that was week one, a nice Sunday afternoon win, but it's a quick turnaround for week two. The Packers play Thursday night. So it's one of those games on Prime, and it's going to disrupt everybody's work day on Friday morning, but make a plan for it because, you know, the team looked pretty good in week one. I mean, don't take my word for it because I didn't see the game one little bit, and I'll explain why coming up in just a moment or two here. You know, even rehabbing from knee surgery was not going to stop one very enthusiastic Packer fan from attending the season opener at Lambeau Field. We will, of course, as we do on Mondays, talk to Dr. Kristen Lyerly, including what she did on what was pretty much a perfect day for football and a practically perfect performance by the Packers to open up the 2025 campaign. It's just been a good sports weekend. The Brewers continued their winning ways, and we'll give you the latest on how the team did, including Jacob Mazurowski pitching yesterday. We've also got a guest from the Wisconsin Fair Maps Coalition, who is going to talk about the fact that, I guess, democracy, representative democracy, you know, fair elections, has been kind of taking it on the chin lately as Republicans in multiple states just commit corruption right out in the open and rig their maps for Congress, for legislatures. And the Wisconsin Fair Maps Coalition is reminding people we don't have to accept that. We don't have to normalize this and continue building support for permanent changes in Wisconsin to take politicians out of the map-making business, where they had been for a long time, but it is now clear that we can no longer trust that politicians from, you know, the legislatures and from Congress will be as fair as they should be in being true to their constitution and just to the whole concept of, you know, honest elections. And so independent commissions are the way that things are being done, and Wisconsin is well overdue to have something like that here. So we will talk about that a little bit later this morning. We'll also visit with Senator Jeff Smith from the Eau Claire area. You might have heard in the news just now that a couple of programs for homeless veterans in Wisconsin will probably be shutting down here before too much longer, the next few weeks, because although Governor Tony Evers called for those programs to continue being funded in his state budget bill, Republicans zeroed it out and didn't put anything else back in. They didn't change the number to anything other than zero, and now they're trying to blame the governor for that. So Senator Jeff Smith will, in his most radio language friendly way, say what and what he is proposing and what could yet be done to save these programs for our veterans if Republicans wanted to save them. And at the moment, there's nothing on the Senate calendar that says that Republicans do want to save those things. We will talk to Brittany Merlot, Civic Media meteorologist, about the forecast for getting the week started as well. And of course, you can follow along and you can comment. You can use the Civic Media app to send us your questions and comments by using the text feature or the voice note feature. Or if you're listening on the radio and you want to comment in some other way, well, the video version of this show, because we're live streaming right now, you can go to the Facebook or the YouTube channels for either Up North News or Civic Media. So on those four different pages there, you'll find the show, and you can put something in the comment section there. And not just there's those four options. There's also a fifth option as well, and that's to follow me on social media over on Facebook. Just look up the page for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and we have a live broadcast there of the video feed, and you can put questions and comments in there too, where you can watch me and you can watch producer Parker Olson down in Madison Studio A2 putting this whole shindig together. Mr. Olson, how are you?
Doing pretty good, Pat. I had a really good weekend. Went down.
You did?
Yeah, went down to Whitewater, saw some of the guys, spent the night, had a good time watching a lot of football, and that is all I need in my weekends is football.
Well, there was plenty of that because you had the Badgers as well. You had baseball too. Roger in Stevens Point puts it very well. Great weekend for Wisconsin sports, he writes. Badgers, Packers, Brewers all had a successful weekend. Even better that the Cubs lost 2 out of 3 to the Nationals. Are you serious? The lowly Nationals?
Yeah. One of my buddies, I went to watch a Packer game with him yesterday, and he got a text from his dad that said, "Hang on, I have to watch the Cubs to see if they blow this lead before I turn on the Packer game."
Oh, man.
He chose hate watching the Cubs over the Packers, and I think that's okay.
That's amazing. So Roger says the Brewers' magic number is now 12 to win the Central Division. So there you go. So you watched a lot of football.
Oh yeah. You didn't watch the Packers though.
I did not, and here's why. I had just the best get together yesterday with some of our old TV13 friends.
Oh, cool.
Including my old co-anchor Judy Clark, who is still there after 35 years at the TV station, and then other folks who used to work at Channel 13 and who have since moved on to other things. Well, the five of us couples, for years and years, would get together occasionally. We'd call it dinner club. And, you know, it was oftentimes at somebody's house, and we would, you know, somebody would take turns cooking, and, oh, we would laugh and laugh, tell stories. And, you know, then through a whole bunch of life changes and things, it's become more like a once a year thing. And so we go to a restaurant somewhere, and I didn't really connect the dots right away when the main organizer of this, who lives in Washington, D.C. now, got things organized and said, okay, well, this restaurant on this date, okay, sounds great. And then somewhere along the line, it was like, wait a minute, Sunday at 3.
Oh, that's a horrible time.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to do happy hour at 3 and dinner at 5. Like, okay, well, there goes that, which was fine. It was a great time. It was just one of those, you know, coincidences that reminder that not everybody brings their life to a complete halt for Packer games.
What weird people.
I know. Crazy, right?
Jeez.
And yet we still had just the best time. And we discussed as people have all moved on, most people have moved on to different jobs and different workplaces and things, that, you know, everybody deserves a workplace. And maybe you're not there for the longest time, but you got to have at least one workplace where you're still telling stories years later because it was so much fun and because the people were so good. I don't have any other workplace, and I've had a few in my career, where we get together that often and tell that many stories. And I really wish that for other folks. On the other hand, like as I've said before, I'm at a point in life now where I sit here in my home office, and I sit at this desk from 5:30 a.m. until about 5:30 p.m., off and on, doing personal things around the house as well. And while I miss a lot of those folks, this work from home thing, I mean, it really works well for some of us. But I'm really glad that I had the opportunity to work in some pretty cool places with some really nice people, and to watch them moving on and on. In fact, I'll tell one story here. He wasn't part of this dinner thing, but one of our former coworkers. We've had several reporters from Channel 13 go on to become news directors at other stations. And we just had to laugh that, you know, they were not the people we would necessarily have chosen to become news directors when we first met them, when they first started, because we had a whole lot of people come to the TV station right out of college. We often referred to Channel 13 as the, you know, fifth year of journalism school. And, you know, we had to do a lot of teaching with a lot of folks who were young and just getting there, you know, but clearly the lessons and the experience held on, because several people that we've worked with have become news directors over time. The latest of which, Matt Coomer, is the new news director for Care 11 in the Twin Cities.
Oh, wow.
I mean, that's like a big deal.
Yeah.
But I remember when he was so young and so new, and you know, he would try so hard that, you know, Stone Phillips was a big time reporter at NBC at the time, Stone Phillips. So I nicknamed him Stone Coomer, you know, for some of the stuff that he was doing. If you'd have told me back then he was going to be the news director at Care 11 in the Twin Cities, I'm like, I don't know about that. But I've watched him. He's been news director in Green Bay, and he's moved on to some other places, and he's incredible. And I'm going to take all the credit. It was all me and Judy, all the lessons that we taught him
100%
over the years.
Well
100%,
done.
100% us. And I hope this gets back to Matt so that we can get the email at some point going, yeah, I did pretty well despite Pat Kreitlow.
that guy was trying to mess me up for years.
Yep. Giving me stupid nicknames and everything else. But no, we've had people, you know, news directors in the Twin Cities, Madison, Wausau, Green Bay, like I said, outside the state as well, won all kinds of awards. But we got to work with them when they were fresh out of college and new, and really kind of shaping that raw talent into something. And the listeners already know where I'm going with this, how great this is going to be, that someday we're going to say, we knew Parker Olson, national champion Parker Olson from Whitewater, someday when he's running, like, you know, CBS News or something like that.
Something like that.
Civic media. So dream big, young man, and listen, hang on our every word as the old codgers teach you a thing or two about what not to do. And if you just go and do the opposite of everything that we do, you're going to be great. You're going to have a wonderful career.
I'll make sure I'm taking notes.
Yeah.
It does appear that you've got plenty to teach.
Tony says, does Parker have some workplace Pat stories? Are they radio friendly? Nah, we're working on it. It's still new.
Yeah, there's that. And also that you're many hours away.
Yeah, there's that as well. It's not exactly that kind of a workplace. And frankly, you're still that new. How long have you been here now?
I believe next week is 4 months, I think.
Next week, 4 months.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many times we'd have new reporters who are starting to like get antsy, feel like they need to move on, getting all restless. And Judy and I would always give them like the same career advice. Until you've been here 2 years, don't even think about it. Don't even just spend those 2 years just amassing as much as you can, learning as much as you can. And then from that 2 year mark on, go. Now, that's not the same for everybody and for every place necessarily, but that was kind of our baseline.
Yeah.
And we found that worked out really well. You'd be amazed what it's like what I used to say about or what I like to say about doing something 500 times. You're not going to be good at anything until you've done it 500 times.
Oh,
and
least,
or in this yeah. or in this case, 2 years, and you're not quite to 500 shows yet, but you're getting there.
No, but it is more than I thought.
It feels like 500.
Sometimes.
So we will get back on track here and start to talk about just all the details of what a good weekend it was for the Packers, for the Brewers, for the Badgers, and much more still ahead on this Monday morning. But first, from the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thank you for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
It is 6:22 now on this Monday morning, September 8th, 2025. Nice to have you along here. Let's start with the Packers and how they did over the weekend, and as we've already established, I didn't get to see the game. So when I tell you what the Associated Press is telling me, you're going to have to send your corrections to me, and then I'll let the AP know if they got anything wrong here. But it says here, Jordan Love threw a pair of touchdown passes, and Micah Parsons had a sack in his Green Bay debut as the Packers delivered an exceptional defensive performance in a 27-13 victory over the Detroit Lions, the Packers winning their 13th consecutive home opener. Love went 16 of 22 for 188 yards, and those touchdown passes were 15 yards to Tucker Kraft and 17 yards to Jaden Reed. Josh Jacobs added a 3-yard score in the fourth quarter, giving Josh Jacobs a touchdown now in a franchise record 9 straight games. And as I said before, the Packers have a quick turnaround here. They are the kickoff game this Thursday night for week 2 of the NFL season, which is an Amazon Prime thing, if memory serves correctly here. So there will be, of course, you'll be able to hear it here across the Civic Media Radio Network as well, but I do not believe I have the start time on the pregame yet. So when I get that, I will pass that along to you. But again, Thursday night on some Civic Media stations, you'll get to hear the Packers. Now, apparently Aaron Rodgers turned things around and had a very big game in his debut. The first play that I saw for him on the Pittsburgh Steelers playing his former team, the New York Jets, the very first play from scrimmage was an Aaron Rodgers sack.
Yes, it was.
And I was just like, okay, I like that. I kind of laughed a bit. And then they showed a cutaway. And I don't know the head coach's name of the Jets, but he and some of the players, I mean, they just were so happy.
Yeah.
To see that. And that's the thing. What kind of a coworker are you when not only when you leave, nobody's like, no, wait, stop, don't go. It's none of that. And in fact, they just cheer when they watch you get sacked in your first play.
Yeah, and Rodgers was kind of weird after the game too. In one of the press in a press conference, he was saying like, yeah, I think he was asked if it felt good to beat, I think specifically one of the coaches, I can't remember who, on the Jets. And he said, actually, it feels fantastic to be anyone associated with the Jets at all. it's like, geez, Aaron, why don't you just burn down the building? Okay.
Oh, yeah, that is his way. And yes, both you and Mr. Mathers have corrected me here. It is a 5 p.m. broadcast start for the pregame on Thursday for the Packers versus the Commanders. So, yeah, we got to do that football thing all over again in a couple of days here.
It's a good thing to redo. It's a fun thing to redo. My dad's going to that game.
It's going to be, yeah. Who doesn't love a good Thursday night football game? Well, plenty of us who wish it was just Sunday afternoons, but it is what it is. We're not going to change the NFL's mind anytime soon here. As for the Badger football team, backup quarterback Danny O'Neill, he threw for 3 touchdowns. He went 23 of 27, 283 yards passing, as the Badgers pulled away in the second half to beat Middle Tennessee 42-10 on Saturday. But they really didn't do that pulling away until practically midway through the third quarter. And to look at social media for the first 2.5 quarters, I mean, people were ready to just burn the stadium down, you know, and run what's his name, Fickell, out of town on a rail.
Fickell's were kind of bad.
They were not happy. Now, obviously, they found the gas pedal eventually and did a rather good job. But let's just say, not that many people are fired up about the Packers' next game, which is next Saturday at Alabama. Now, Alabama is a decaying carcass of its former self, okay? But it is still Alabama.
Yeah.
So kickoff will be at 11 a.m., and, of course, we'll have the pregame Saturday morning across several Civic Media stations as well.
If the Badgers can keep the game against Bama within 3 scores, then I think that's a win.
I guess. I guess I'd say 2 scores simply because Alabama is not what they were. I mean, you haven't seen a team fall like that in some time.
Well, no, but they were so high.
Yes, they were. Fair. That's true. Yeah. It's a little weird to see things not what they used to be. Bill Belichick used to be like this.
And he hates the Patriots now. Yeah.
Yeah, infallible coach, and he got really spanked in his season debut with North Carolina. Over to baseball now, where Andrew Vaughn had four hits, but most importantly, Jacob Mizorowski got past the sixth inning for the first time in his major league career. Seven innings, as the Brewers, of course, scored nine runs early off of the Pirates' top pitching prospect, Bubba Chandler, to complete a three-game sweep of the Pittsburgh Pirates with a 10-2 win on Saturday. So, and like we said, the Cubs dropping 2 of 3 to the Nationals only further cements that Brewers lead in the Central Division.
There is a world in which the Brewers clinch a playoff spot today, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I was just thinking about the division, but I suppose a playoff spot, that makes sense.
Yeah. A couple things have to happen, but
yeah. Possible. Okay. All right. The Brewers themselves, they play against the Texas Rangers. Where did my pregame go? There it is. Pregame begins at 6:30 on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, and Hayward. And so that's there's Texas Monday, Tuesday, and then Wednesday afternoon. Thursday, the Brewers have an off day to come home, and this coming weekend, they begin a series against the St. Louis Cardinals with potentially a playoff spot clinched.
Possibly.
Food. Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to look that up now and find out what are the criteria necessary and get ready to play some October baseball. On the other side, we hope to be talking to Dr. Kristen Lyerly about her day at Lambeau Field. A perfect day for football, a great game, great crowds, and one very enthusiastic fan. That's all coming up after the Midwest Farm Report. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north. Are not just playing Vonda Shepherd's Searching My Soul, the theme song to Alan McBeal, because, you know, like that series, we are just a dysfunctional workplace with a cool soundtrack, but also because the first episode of Alan McBeal aired on this day in 1997 on Fox. Vonda Shepherd had a hit or two previously, but really caught a big break playing a lounge singer who would give voice to Calista Flockhart playing Alan McBeal with music at the end of each episode. Welcome back to today's history lesson on this Monday, September 8th. Joined as always on Monday mornings by Dr. Kristen Lyerly and by Up North News reporter Selena Heller and by Whiskers the Cat, who's got to be in front of the camera every time.
Every single time.
I know. Dr. Lyerly, how are you this morning?
I'm recovering.
Yeah, well, yeah,
that's good.
Not just from the knee replacement, but from violating doctor's orders or some other kind of, you know, aberrant behavior. You were not a compliant patient.
To be very clear, my doctor did not say do not go to the Packer game and tailgate and make merry for a whole day on your new knee. So he didn't specifically say that. So I didn't feel like I specifically had to not do that.
Are your patient instructions that weirdly specific? I didn't think so. But, you know, you were just going to tailgate, right?
And but that was the plan. We were going to go and tailgate, and then I was going to go home. But how do you turn down, like, those last-minute Packer tickets that somebody's what do you mean?
Dropped in your lap, right. You that happens to just, me all you, the time.
You can't let your team down, Pat. They needed me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to cheer on Michael Parsons.
I suppose. So you might have overdone it a little bit, but you certainly have an expression on your face that says it was worth it.
It was so worth it. What a game. Did you see that sack by Micah Parsons? Oh, my gosh.
That was so
fun. The day, the fans, the weather, it was the perfect Packer day.
It does. Tony on YouTube says Dr. Lyerly would never tell a patient not to go to a Packer game. And Alicia on YouTube says, Dr. Lyerly, you sound like my kids. But yeah, we totally understand.
Alicia was there too. It was Alicia's first Packer game. Lifetime fan, first game.
Wait, that was Alicia's first game?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Wow. All she says there is, I saw it.
Alicia is there every single week working for the disabled veterans, raffling off a jersey, raising money for our veteran population. Cool. Finally, she got to go to a game. So she puts in the time, and this was a really special day for Alicia, too.
That's awesome. Wonderful. Selena's got her pack of t-shirt on, representing on Mondays, as always. You were not at the game.
I was not, no, and we always, but Emery's got her jersey to wear today. She wore Brewers on Friday. She's on it.
this is how it works. And a little later, Selena's going to talk about one of her stories. Basically, it's how a little ice cream shop in Chautauqua won a big time award, right? I mean, that's what we're going to hear about.
County, the pride of Barron County right now.
Yes. And so we'll find out all about this little ice cream shop and the kind of what it does with its flavors to make it so award winning. So stick around for that. Let's get back to today's history lesson in birthdays today. Happy birthday to singer Pink. She was born Alicia Moore in Abington, Pennsylvania. She is 46 years old today.
My theme song right now.
Don't let me get me. Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah,
totally see that. My wife is a big fan of Pink and saw the concert, you know, all the trapeze work that she does, you know, during it. And it's
she's incredible.
Absolutely blown away. Yep. She shares a birthday with Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders, who is 84 years old today. On this day in 1504, Michelangelo's David statue was unveiled in Florence. A young Bernie Sanders, I think, was there at the time. On this day in 1955, you've seen Chuck Berry do that duck walk of his with the guitar. Mm-hmm. He did that for the first time this day in 1955, mostly to hide how wrinkled his suit was. Well, if I do this little dance where I get down with my guitar, that'll work. And the duck walk became a thing for Chuck Berry.
And he had to iron less then, so that was great. Yeah,
exactly. So that first happened 70 years ago today. This is the anniversary of the birth of music legend Patsy Cline, born this day in 1932. The thing about doing the setups for these shows, and you sometimes listen back to people, and sometimes it's not necessarily clear how they got to be famous. You know, like they're okay, but there's plenty of others like Patsy Cline. You listen to a couple of more songs, you know, figuring out which clip you want to put on, and you go, yeah, that's just raw talent right there that comes out. Just a voice that's clear as a bell. Was passed away, died way too early, plane crash in 1963. The original Star Trek premiered on NBC this day in 1966. This next birthday, another country star. Oh, I'm sorry, Dr. Larry. Oh, she's giving the Vulcan salute. Uh-huh. Star Trek.
Can you do it?
In your hand.
Vulcan
yeah.
salute?
Yes, exactly.
Nice.
Let's
Selena.
See.
That's
Selena cannot make it happen. Yep. Born this day in 1897, another one of the original country music stars, Jimmy Rogers. Now, maybe you haven't heard much from Jimmy Rogers, but if you've heard his name more than once or twice, it's because you're familiar with one of the first lines in the song by Alana Miles, Black Velvet. Jimmy Rogers, as heard on the Victrola Up High, was born in Meridian, Mississippi, this day in 1897, and yes, was definitely an influence on a young Elvis Presley, who was growing up in Mississippi as well. Seems to be a day for legends here. On this day in 1935 was the first radio appearance by a 19-year-old Frank Sinatra. He and three buddies put together a group in Hoboken, New Jersey called the Hoboken Four. And they sang on the original Major Bowes Amateur Hour. And their song got more votes than any other group in the history of the show. 40,000 people called into a radio show back in 1935. And the rest, as they say, is history for one Frank Sinatra. All you need is one big break, kids.
Wow. Huh.
I know. Yeah. Happy birthday to singer Amy Mann. A lot of folks will remember her 1980s hit when she was with a group called Till Tuesday. She is 65. She would later embark on her own successful solo career. It was on this day 3 years ago today that Queen Elizabeth II passed away after reigning for 70 years. Her son Charles, Prince of Wales, ascended the throne upon her death as King Charles III. On this day in 2001, Kylie Minogue released a single, her first big hit in, over a decade. Let's give a listen to a song that gets stuck in everybody's head.
Not Parker's head, apparently.
No, I just, I didn't care for the pun.
The funny thing is that Kylie Minogue, she had a remake of The Locomotion back in 1988. She is just a huge smash in Australia, has been for decades. And she was in that recent Netflix series, The Residence, about a murder in the White House. She was one of the party guests. And so they keep coming back to her doing this clip of her singing this song, which, of course, is now a quarter century ago. And it's always fun when an artist will play with that and, you know, go, do you know how sick I am of singing that damn song over and over again? And she played along really nice with it. On this day in 2001, Jennifer Lopez had a remix with Ja Rule in 2001 that went to number one. Here's a little sample of I'm Real. This is International Literacy Day. This is National Ampersand Day. And I feel like I'm asking this in all seriousness. If I say ampersand, Parker?
Yes.
The little and symbol.
Yeah, I use it a lot. I'm just, really? That needs a day? Come on, guys.
It gets a day. Yes.
Why?
There's a day for everything.
Why?
For example, today is National Pediatric Hematology Oncology Nurses Day.
Okay, that makes sense.
Thank you. Yes. You know? And this is also Sexual Health Week.
Oh, well, yes, let's do that.
I was going to say.
Oh, can now, I be on every single day this week, Pat?
And now for the final 3 minutes of this segment, it's just nothing but Sexual Health Week content.
Oh, boy. Morning radio at its finest.
From gynecologist Kristen Lyerly.
We just lost Parker. He left the building.
He's going to celebrate ampersands instead.
Can we establish a baseline on this, on Sexual Health Week? Because, again, as a legislator, we had voted on having comprehensive sex ed curriculums in schools across Wisconsin, something that, again, not long after Scott Walker and Republicans took over, they revoked and have weakened. And sexual health education in Wisconsin, Kristen, is not nearly as encompassing, informative, and helpful in a public health way as it could be.
Not nearly. And it may make you feel uncomfortable. I think it makes a lot of, especially parents, feel uncomfortable to think about their kids learning about sex. But the truth of the matter is, this is health information. We all need to know how our bodies work so that we can make really good decisions for ourselves. Because if we're not making those good decisions when we're young, that can affect us for the rest of our lives.
Yes. I mentioned earlier in the program getting together with some other couples who'd worked at the TV station. And one of the couples, they have three younger kids right now. And one of them is going through the sex education stuff. And I can't tell the story on the radio other than to say that while their dad was driving them to school one day, one of them blurts out a question from the back seat, you know, a very explicit question going, "Hey, Dad, is it true that blah, blah, blah?" And he's like, "Boy, what a parenting moment where you just have to hold on to the steering wheel. Don't let your face do anything other than go, uh-huh."
Just answer the question, you know, well, just yeah, be did. Honest. And yes.
Yes.
But it is.
But you get blindsided with that, though.
Yes. Yeah. You're not expecting things necessarily, but that's part of parenthood as far and education too, is giving them good information and not belittling it, and also not pretending it doesn't exist, right? Mm-hmm. You know,
it does
correct exist.
Naughty part names and all of that.
Oh, so yeah, there's a song.
There are lots of songs.
There are songs that
can we get that song off air, please, Pat?
yes, very much so. But yes, Sexual Health Week is an important reminder. Answer your kids' questions and be supportive of comprehensive health education in schools. It's, you know, one of the best things that you can do to prevent everything from unwanted pregnancies, sexual diseases, and, you know, make your kids' lives happy and healthy and their relationships happy and healthy as well. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Coming up in the 7 o'clock hour, we're going to talk about the Fair Maps Coalition doing a statewide tour around Wisconsin. Can they save democracy one fair map at a time? That's ahead in the next hour of these Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Hey, Up North News puts out a newsletter on the weekdays and another on the weekends. Let me tell you a bit about those, and then we'll get back to visiting with Dr. Kristen Lyerly and Selena Heller. But on the weekdays, we've got a newsletter today with an article that includes a story about keeping your eyes peeled for various creatures migrating across Wisconsin this fall. We're now at that time of year again where a lot of birds that kind of pass by on their way further north are now passing by on their way farther south. And so all kinds of little tidbits here about the things you can look for. I was visiting friends in La Crosse on Saturday, and they live on a bluff that overlooks the Mississippi River there. So, I mean, the migratory birds all the time. You see all kinds of things going up and down. As we were going up a road up one of the bluffs, and I did a double take just to make sure I wasn't imagining this, I'd never seen a turkey vulture before, you know, live, you know, and there's one sitting right there. And I mean, you see that thing and you're immediately thinking, wow, if you totally get the cartoons, you know, where the buzzards are circling overhead, like if you're in a jam, that thing is coming for you. So I'm like, I was glad not to be stranded in a desert with one.
Very
creepy, but all kinds of cool birds. Yes, Selena.
We have, so talking about migration, did you know monarch butterflies migrate to Mexico? Yep. We have chrysalises that Emery is bringing to life. We call it hatching, but I don't think they hatch other chrysalises. I don't know the proper term.
I believe they emerge, but
emerge. That's a good word. So we have a bunch of chrysalises and we are watching them come out, and one came out yesterday and we have another, and so we are going to let them go, and they migrate to Mexico.
Yes, they do. What? Yeah. I know, how cool is that?
It's a wonder, you know, like the way they fly, how they get there, because they're so like, yes. It's like watching my kid try to get to school and getting distracted. Like,
it's really impressive. Alicia puts on YouTube, turkey vultures are all over the place near New London. I don't believe that's a commentary on New London, but I think on the migratory pattern of these birds. So again, look for that in the newsletter. And then later we will talk about the Sunday morning newsletter and our question of the week that deals with Trump's flip-flop on the Epstein files and what's really the motivation for doing that. So again, we'll have that coming up in just a bit. But first, Selena, you had a chance to talk to somebody, you know, just your regular small business owner in Chautauqua, but now regular small business owner who won a really cool award for their ice cream.
Yeah, so we camp in Chautauqua. So it was the proper time, just perfect time. I called him up before that. And I said, hey, can I stop over? Because I just learned he won lots of awards from the World Dairy Expo. His name is Alan Kirchner. And just started the shop. And so the year before, he's like, well, I have this equipment. I'm going to kind of take a little run at entering some of this ice cream. And he didn't really have the shop open. But now, so this year, he won the grand champion. What?
That's amazing.
Yeah, and lots of other awards. So here he talks about all the kind of the kinds that won, that he entered.
All right, let's give a listen.
We submitted flavors. So we were the only traditional hard ice cream producers in Barron County. And we've been open for about a year. And we submitted about 10 flavors to the World Dairy Expo Products Contest in Madison about a month ago. And we found out we won fourth place in pistachio, second place in lemon poppy seed, and two first place winners in regular vanilla. And we won in the peanut butter chocolate. And the judges, they choose an overall grand champion of all the first place winners, and they chose Kirchner's peanut butter chocolate.
What makes your ice cream special?
Well, I don't cut corners. I have a clean dairy mix. I have a super high, super premium level of the cream. We're the only ice cream shop in Wisconsin that's never used artificial dyes. And that was even before the whole national conversation about artificial dyes. We were doing it. We don't use artificial ingredients. We have, good quality, high quality ingredients. And I think all that together makes for a phenomenal small batch artisanal ice cream.
Isn't that awesome?
I think the World Dairy Expo is one thing, but in order to really confirm that this ice cream is good, we should go there and make sure personally so that we can make sure for our listeners that this truly is the case. What do you say, guys?
That's a good idea.
This is not a hardship for me or Selena. We're practically there. So when are you getting over here to this side of the state? We will go.
We'll travel. Let's go.
We did try some when we were there. We had mint chocolate chip. And the crazy thing, it was the shop was packed. It was just packed the whole time we were there. And they had so many people. They were running out of ice cream. And he said, oh, my goodness. And like 1,000 people through there in the couple of days of the Labor Day weekend. We went there about a week ago. And they didn't have all of the flavors because they were kind of running out because so many people came. It was crazy. But it's good. It was good. I'll confirm.
I was going to say, it's a nice problem to have when you run out of product because it's so good and people recognize it and they want it. So that's great. We spent so much time talking just about the ice cream. We did not get to the original premise of this segment, which Dr. Lyerly made a request. If in this segment we could talk about what, Kristen?
Could we just combine the ice cream and the sexual health and just do it together in one segment?
In one segment. No, as two different parts of one segment, perhaps.
Why? Yeah. Why the reticence, Pat?
Anyway, when we come back, we're gonna find out.
You said no.
You noticed I just run out the clock on these things. We're gonna talk to Kristen about what was on the Dr. Kristen Lyerly show this past weekend and what's gonna be coming up again in the following week across the Civic Media stations in Oshkosh and Green Bay, and you can get it online as well. So stick around for Kristen to be talking about that. More from Selena on the stories that she's covering for Up North News as well. And again, we'll be talking to someone from the Fair Maps Coalition about getting the corruption out of our maps for legislature and Congress. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.